Well, let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we thank you for this wonderful story in the Bible, and we pray that as we reflect on it now, that you will fill our hearts with great hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the other day I found a video on YouTube all about quicksand, and it fascinated me. So I edited it down a little bit and thought I'd show you some of the highlights.
This quaint English village might look like the perfect place for cream teas and picnics on the beach, but it harbours a deadly secret. The whole area is covered with dangerous patches of quicksand.
Right. I appear to be sinking. Oh my goodness me.
I was sinking fast, and my weight was pushing the water away from the sand, creating a vacuum around my legs and pulling me south.
Well, I'm stuck fast and there's no way I'm getting out on my own. And to be honest with you, I'm starting to feel a bit uncomfortable about the whole situation. So if you wouldn't mind getting me out, George, that'd be marvellous.
Although the Coast Guard team was here with me, I was scared stiff. To pull one leg free from this stuff requires the amount of force needed to lift a small car. So I had no idea how they were going to get me out. They started to flood the sand around my legs with water whilst frantically digging away with their hands. I felt like I was stuck in concrete.
Alright. Oh, cheers, boys. I thought that is the most horrendous thing I've ever done in my life.
I just love that bit where you see his face. He's just completely shocked. It is a bit scary, isn't it? So why do I start by showing you that video of quicksand? Well, quite simply, it strikes me that sometimes we feel like our lives are being stuck in quicksand. We often will find ourselves going through a time where we feel there is just no hope, no way out. And at such times, we feel that even if we try and get out of it, we just struggle and get ourselves deeper into the mud, basically. So the question I want us to ask this morning is, where is hope to be found, particularly in situations where it looks like all is hopeless? And the thing about this presenter, just imagine if he had been out there all by himself and he got stuck in the quicksand. He could do absolutely nothing. He could not hope to help himself. All he could do is shout for help. And even when he shouted for help, somebody might hear, and they couldn't do anything apart from call somebody who could help, namely the Coast Guard with all their powerful hydraulic equipment. It needed something really powerful to rescue him, to bring hope. Well, in today's Bible reading, we encounter a situation of great hopelessness. I mean, it really is a dark situation, this story. But in it we see that there is hope. And his name is Jesus, which is what we're going to see today. In Jesus there is hope. And this is not just a story that was appropriate to people who lived 20 centuries ago. It's appropriate to all of us here today. There is real hope, and it can be found in Jesus. We're going to look at three things today. We're going to see hope for the widow, hope for the world, and hope in the face of death. So let's come and look at the most obvious thing in the story, which is hope for the widow. As we read that story, we are immediately kind of touched by this woman's plight. I mean, no one should have to go through this, losing their child. But as we read it more closely, we realise that this is her only son and she's a widow. So not only is she reeling from the worst possible grief, the situation is actually far worse because, well, without a husband and now without any children, there's no welfare state in those days, she's got no means of support. Into this situation walks Jesus, and he brings hope. And verse 13, if you're looking at the Bibles, is wonderful. You just see Jesus full of compassion. Don't cry, he says. And he then touches the coffin, which makes him effectively unclean. And that's what Jesus does. He comes into our situations and gets dirty with us. But then he brings the most amazing hope for this widow as he raises her son back to life. And not only does he then restore this relationship that death has damaged, he also gives her back her practical support. She now does not have to be doomed to beg on the streets. So Jesus brings real hope for the widow. And the thing is, this is the same Jesus we follow today. And we've got to believe that he has the power to help us too. So if we're in a situation where we feel we're just stuck in quicksand and we can't get out, and anything we do just makes us get sucked down further, well, we need to cry out to the only person who can help, who is the Lord Jesus. And I encourage you to do that. You may be in a situation where you feel it is completely bleak and dark. Or you might just be in a sort of a lesser situation, but whatever it is, it might be a broken relationship. And you think that broken relationship can't be restored. Well, it can. Whatever bleak situation we're in, there is hope to be found in Jesus. As he brought hope for the widow, he can do the same for us. And we've got to believe that. We'll think about that a little bit more maybe later, but let's move on to the second thing we see, which is the way Jesus brings hope for the world. Let's look at this two verses. Look at how the crowd reacts to what Jesus does for the widow. They were all filled with awe and praised God. A great prophet has appeared among us, they said. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. So why do they react like that? Are they just simply thrilled for the widow? We're really pleased that Jesus has done this thing for you. No, they see this as a sign of encouragement for themselves. God has come to help us. So how does this work? Well, on one level, it's quite simple. Again, let's go back to the quicksand analogy. Now let's say you're stuck in quicksand with five other people. You're all helpless, and you all cry out for help. Somebody hears, gets on the phone to the Coast Guard, and comes and shouts, "The Coast Guard are on their way." Well, there's a sign of hope for you all, but you're still waiting. Then the Coast Guard arrive. They help person number one. You're person number five, but now you're filled with real hope. If they're saving that person over there, surely your turn is next. So at one level, this works like that. Jesus has arrived, full of power, rescues person number one. Surely he's not going to ignore you and your need too. And sure enough, later on, as we read, Jesus goes on, he's healing all sorts of other things. The story can work like that. That gives the people hope. But there's more than that. The other angle is, well, we've got to remember the situation that these people were in. These are Jewish people living under foreign occupation. The poor are oppressed by the rich. The rich fat cats just getting away with it. There's corruption in government, and at the end of it, they face death. It's a gloomy situation. These guys feel that they're stuck in quicksand as a society. But they know that God has promised to do something about it. The prophets of the Old Testament are full of great promises that one day, for the people of Judea, God's kingdom will break in. And it will break in with the coming of the Messiah. And on that day will come justice for all. The poor will no longer be oppressed. The prisoners will be freed. All of these things will come as God's kingdom breaks in. And so what the crowd are doing is they see Jesus healing this dead boy, raising him back to life, and they think, this is it, the time has come, as promised. God's kingdom is breaking in, and no longer will we have to face all of this injustice and so on. Now, there's a question that often comes to people's minds. Jesus did come, but all the poor weren't suddenly made okay. God's kingdom didn't completely break in all at once. And so John the Baptist even got puzzled about this, and he sent to Jesus some messengers. Look, can we just check, Jesus? You are the one who was to come, aren't you? And Jesus replies, well, look at the evidence around you. Yes, I am the one. Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me. Jesus says, look at the evidence. God's kingdom might not be here in its entirety, but it is breaking in me. So you can have hope. I am the one who has come to bring about God's kingdom. The thing about God's kingdom is we know that one day it will come in all its fullness. And the Bible promises that on that day, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Everything will be put right and it will be perfect. But at the moment, God's kingdom breaks in more slowly. As each person becomes a Christian, their life can be transformed by the power of God, and hopefully they'll start being more ethical. And history proves this. If we look at how society is changed as countries turn to the Lord Jesus, or people in that country turn to the Lord Jesus, it does get better. And if we look at the UK, who was it who led the slave trade to be abolished? Christians. Who was it who established education for the masses? Christians. Who was it who stopped the abuses of child labour? Christians. So the kingdom of God can break in as people turn to Christ. And as we see our country moving further and further away from the Lord Jesus, no wonder we are plummeting and sinking into the quicksand. But there can be hope, and we have to pray that people turn back to the Lord Jesus. He is our hope, hope for the world. And the interesting thing is, you know, last year we did this project, well, we're still doing the project, we did phase one last year, Who Cares? And we've asked a question around Elmswell, and this has been going on by other churches around Suffolk. We asked one question to loads of individuals: what hurts you the most? Or to put it another way, what is the one thing in life you find hardest to handle? We've got over 200 responses, and they're being categorised into 9 categories. And there are various things which are quite obvious, like there's a certain problem of loneliness with the elder generation, particularly those who are bereaved. But what is number one? Across Elmswell and Suffolk, issues of injustice. It's quite fascinating. This county, this village, people are crying out for justice. People don't like injustice on the personal level, as they're lied to, or they find they're cheated on. And they don't like injustice on the global level. So people are saying, it grieves me that war keeps going on. Where is the peace? It grieves me that the poor are oppressed. Number one. But what we see is that there is hope in Jesus. Hope in the long term when the kingdom comes in its fullness, but hope as individual people become Christians, they can make a difference. Just as Nicholas made a difference last week with a cake sale, and more people across the world are going to have toilets and water sanitation. Jesus can make a difference. There is hope for the world. We now come, though, to the final thing, which is Jesus brings hope in the face of death. So we come back to the actual details of the miracle. We have a dead body. Humanly speaking, we can't do anything about that, but Jesus can. What is the greatest promise of all in the Bible? Open question. What's the greatest promise we have? Could somebody tell me John 3:16? Thank you, Peter. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus came and destroyed the power of death. This is a hard thing to believe, because we can't do anything about death. And one of the hardest things I have to do is comfort the bereaved. But in Jesus there's hope in the face of death. He has promised that if we trust in him, We will be raised to new life. We will know new life now spiritually, and we will have new physical life for all eternity in that perfect kingdom of God where all is full of justice and peace forever. And we will see the Lord Jesus face to face. We are promised this. And we say, "But yeah, but how can the dead be raised? Surely that's too hard." But Jesus has proven in history it's not too hard. He raised this boy back to life. He raised Jairus' daughter. He raised Lazarus. He himself was raised. So when Jesus says, "I promise to raise you to eternal life," he means it. And he has proved it in history. There is hope in Jesus' name. We all are going to face death one day. I don't want to bring you down. I want to bring you up. Because death is not the end for those who trust in Jesus. And a friend of mine, I haven't seen this lady in years, but I knew her at St. Helens, and she once was up front, and she told a story of her grandfather, a wonderful Christian man, dying. And on his deathbed, she was visiting him. The last words he said to her was, "Karen, don't worry, I will be seeing you again." Jesus said to the woman in the story, "Don't cry." And he says the same to us. We are eternal beings. We're designed to live forever in the presence of God. And Jesus promises that when we turn to him, that will be a reality. So we see in Jesus there is hope for the widow. There's hope for any of us in our struggles. It might not be a quick fix, but Jesus will walk with us and shine the light of his hope in front of us. There is hope for the world, this world crying out for justice. The more people become Christians, the more the world will be improved. And there's hope in the face of death. The greatest enemy, the last enemy to be defeated is death, but it has been defeated. And we're going to be singing a song in a moment about the power of the resurrection. And that power is in us if we believe. Let's pray. So Father God, we thank you that there is hope in Jesus. We bring ourselves to you. We know that Jesus is greater, and he can work in us and sort out our issues and help us through them. There's hope for a world crying out for justice. May we be used by you. Maybe you're calling us to be involved in bringing justice to this world. And give us a passion to save the lost, not just from their sin and for life, but to bring hope in this world here and now. But ultimately, give us the hope in the face of death, and help us to share this hope with a world that needs to hear about Jesus. Lord, people in this county just don't realize that Jesus is the answer. We pray that you would open their eyes and help us to share the good news. Amen. Just a reminder that both Ernest and myself are available to pray with anyone. If you want a word of prayer, just catch us after the service and we'd love to pray with you.